Last week we heard a sermon titled, Not Ashamed of the Gospel. We looked in Romans chapter 1. A few of you heard that. We found that Jesus is the subject of the gospel. Without him, there is no good news, no gospel. And Paul was commending those who were faithful to follow Christ and assuring them that he was ready to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to tell others, to encourage others to accept Christ, to encourage those who were faithful to remain faithful, to remain steadfast in their faith, and to share the gospel with those that they came in contact with as well. And we need to do that. We who have a relationship with Jesus Christ need to be sharing that relationship with others. And as a matter of fact, we will, and we do. If we genuinely have a relationship with Christ, our life's going to reveal that to folks, whether we say it verbally or not. Just the life that we live, if we're genuine, then that life is going to tell others that we are sons and daughters of God, children of God. And so we also heard Paul as he warned the people of God's wrath. You know, God's a God of love. Absolutely, he's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. But he's also a God of wrath. And we need never to forget that, that God is a God of wrath, that we will suffer the consequences of sin, of unrepented sin. We will suffer the consequence of. And I'm not talking about just those that we didn't say, well, I'm sorry for that. I'm talking about those that we've not repented of, because there's a difference in saying, oh, I'm sorry I did that, and genuinely repenting and being sorry for it. You've probably had somebody apologize to you real lightheartedly sometimes just to try to make you feel better, maybe. Say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. When they did mean to do it, and they're waiting on another opportunity to repeat it already. So there's no repentance in that. And so, and that's the situation with a lot of people and their lives and their relationship with sin, is there's never been any genuine repentance. They've maybe said, you know, I'm sorry, but not really, you know. And so there's a difference, and we need to understand that there is a serious problem when we don't repent. Repent means to turn and go the opposite direction. So when you repent of a sin, then you turn away from that sin and you have no intention of repeating that sin. Do we stumble and fall? Absolutely. We fail. We stumble, but we learn from those mistakes. If we've genuinely repented and we have a genuine desire to follow Christ, then we learn from those mistakes. Those songs we sang this morning are good reminders to us of what we're supposed to be doing. Talking about the footsteps of Jesus. We ought to be trying to be following in the footsteps of Jesus, following his example, the things that he did. And then talking about walking with the Lord and allowing Jesus to be Lord of all. You know, that's where it's at. It's when we get to the point that we really genuinely allow Jesus to be Lord of all. We want him to be our Savior. You know, we want him to rescue us and keep us out of hell. But we don't want to let him lord over us. We don't want him to be the one that we listen to on everything, because we want to do it our way, and then we want him to bless our mess too many times, and that's not the way it works. We've got to let Jesus be Lord of all. And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so we need to learn to do that. And so here Paul is writing to the Romans, and we're going to pick up in chapter 2 in the first several verses of chapter 2 in Romans this morning, and look a little bit further about some of the things that were going on. in that day and that age. We found last week that that Paul's day in Rome was a lot. There were a lot of similarities with what Paul was dealing with then and what we're dealing with today. And that was, you know, found in the last part of that chapter, in verse 24, where it said, "Wherefore God hath also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." He lists a whole bunch of things that the people were guilty of then. And a lot of those things are the same things that are going on now. With all this LGBTQ agenda that's going on, we got all these lesbians and homosexuals and gays deciding now whether you want to be a male or a female, and you can change that from day to day. That's a hater of God. You're hating God. God's the one that created you, and when you think you can decide what your sex is, and you're defying what God created you, then that's not something that you do when you love God. That's being a hater of God. Murders, we're murdering all our babies, and you know, it's terrible. And this didn't all just start. It's been going on. It was going on in Paul's day, or at least a lot of it was. And so, Paul reminds them that there's a judgment day coming. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Taken from chapter 2 in the first 16 verses we'll be looking at, the judgment is coming. It's coming quickly, rapidly, I believe. And here Paul's writing and talking about the Jews, and the Jews thought because they were Jews, they had a shoe in. They were all right. It was the Gentiles that were in trouble, you know. But thank the Lord, us Gentiles can be saved just like a Jew can. And it's all through the same way, you know, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we can be saved. And the Jews were judging. And so in chapter 2, beginning verse 1, he says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. We're sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so judgment is coming, but we're not the judge. And we are not to judge. It's not our place to judge. And Paul begins this chapter by saying that you're inexcusable when you're judging someone else, because you are guilty yourself. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, and this is Jesus speaking, he said, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet or measure, you shall be measured to you again." In James chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." So many times we want to point our fingers and we want to judge somebody else for what they're doing. And when you point that finger at somebody else, how many are pointing back at you? You know, how many of us are without sin? None of us are without sin. And so the only one that is worthy of being the judge is the one who has no sin. The only way that I could judge you would be if I had no sin of my own. I'm not there, okay? And neither are you. So none of us is perfect. Jesus is the only one that's perfect. He's the only one that has lived a life without sin. He took on our sin, took it on the cross, and gave his life to pay for our sin. But we are not sinless, and so we have no right to be judging others. The Jews were trying to judge the Gentiles because they weren't following this law or they weren't following that law. And at the same time, they were violating the law themselves. And so they were guilty. And so we're not to judge. Secondly, God's goodness should lead us to repentance. You know? When we just recognize and see how good God is and how He's blessed us, the provisions that He has made for us, besides the provision of salvation. I mean, every day He provides for us. He protects us. He takes care of us. But then when we look at what He's done for our eternal forgiveness, giving His Son, allowing His only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay our sin debt, just the goodness of God should lead us to want to repent, to want to turn away from those things that violate God's law or God's will. And we should want to turn to do the things that please God when we realize what God's done for us. When we have someone that is just really loves us and wants to do everything for us that they can, then normally we're going to do some things that please them. And so God has done so much for us, and not only has done, He is doing, and He will continue to do those things of blessing us in so many ways, and that in itself should lead us to repentance. And so that's what Paul is saying there, that he said in verse 3, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest not the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance?" And so the goodness of God, His patience with us. God is so patient. I'm thankful that God's a patient God. Are you not? Thankful that He's patient with us, that He does not just strike us dead. He could do that at any moment. When we do things that so violate His will for our life, then He could snuff us out without a problem. But He's long-suffering. He's patient with us. And He's merciful to us. And He's gracious to us. And just knowing that should lead us to the point of wanting to repent of those things that we've done, that we're doing, that violate His will for our life. It ought to, just those things alone should make us want to repent. That should lead us to repentance. And that's what Paul is saying here to us, that God's love and His grace and mercy ought to lead us to repentance. It ought to lead us to repent of our sin. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. And so we go around telling people, well, we don't go around telling a lot of people how much we love God. We just tell people that we think, you know, are Christians, and they want to know that, you know. Most of the preacher or somebody, you know, that they think may say something to us about our love for Christ, and we want to talk about how much we love the Lord. He said, if you love me, show it. Keep my commandments. You know, if actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Do what I've asked you to do. Do the things that honor me, he said. You say, well, he's kind of selfish, you know. He wants us to always honor him. Well, that's right. He has every right to be selfish. He gave his only begotten son to pay for your sin debt. He's earned the right to be selfish. Jesus earned the right to be selfish when he went to that cross, when he suffered and gave his life to pay for your sin. He earned the right to say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He earned that right because he paid your sin debt. And so we need to know that we ought to allow God's goodness to lead us to repentance. Thirdly, God will reward us according to what we've done. This is a statement that a lot of times brings some rejection, because, you know, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. And we are. That's a fact. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So our salvation is not a result of good works. But all through the Bible, we're told that we're going to be rewarded according to our deeds, according to our works. We find it in the Old Testament. And Psalm 62, verses 5 through 12, is one of the places that we find that. Psalm 62, 5 through 12, the Bible says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him. At all times, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are lie. To be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou rendereth to every man according to His work. Rewards. We're going to be rewarded according to the deeds we've done, according to our works. In 24 of Proverbs, verse 7 through 14, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not the render to every man according to his works? Again in Jeremiah, we find in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 5-11, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when the good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. So, the Old Testament talks about being rewarded by our works. Now that's just three examples of where the Old Testament talks about being rewarded by our works. But is that the only place? Well, we're saved by faith, right? We're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 told us, I recited that a while ago. Okay? For by grace you say through faith, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse number 10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, yes, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. But just because you have been baptized and joined the church don't mean you're saved. The question is, have you really repented and accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord? Is He Lord of all? Or is He just, you're a member of the church, so life goes on and you live a life you want to because you've got your insurance. Baptism and church membership is not an insurance policy. Baptism and church membership is meaningless outside of repentance. There are a lot of people that are depending on their baptism, their church membership to get them into heaven. Because we preach eternal security. I'm a firm believer in eternal security. I'm a firm believer that when you have genuinely repented of your sins, you have accepted Christ to be your Savior and allowed Him to become Lord of your life, you are saved. And if you're saved, the Bible nowhere talks about temporary salvation. It's eternal life. Nowhere does it say it's temporary life. But the problem is not in whether or not God's able to keep us when we're genuinely saved, when we genuinely repent of our sins. The problem is, are we genuinely saved? Have we really repented of our sin? Have we turned away from our sin? Have we become a new person, a new creation? Have we accepted Jesus Christ not only as our Savior, but as Lord of our life? To allow Him to be our Lord, to be the master of our lives. And so once we do that, once we genuinely repent and allow Him to be our Savior and allow Him to be Lord of our lives, then we are going to want to do the things that please Him. We're going to want to follow His will for our life, and so it's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem to allow Him to be Lord of our life if we genuinely repented of our sins, if we genuinely believe that He did, in fact, love us enough and does, in fact, love us enough that He's was willing to give His Son to die on a cross for us. Do we really believe that Jesus loves us enough that He was willing to suffer and die and pay our sin debt? And so, are works important? The things that we do important? We're talking about the life we're living. We're not just talking about works like we're going out and doing certain works. We're talking about a lifestyle. The works, your deeds are shown in the lifestyle that you live. The life that you live every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, those are the works that we're going to be rewarded for. And we're going to receive the rewards for the good and evil we've done according to God's Word. Well, let's see what the New Testament says about any kind of reward because of works. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, we find in verse 24 through 28, the Bible says, Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. He said, if you're going to repent of your sins, if you really genuinely have repented of your sins, if you have trusted Me to be your Savior, then you're going to follow Me. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, deny your own will. No longer is what you want to do important, because what you want to do now is going to be what God wants you to do. It's no longer that selfish lust of the flesh and pride of life. He said, you're going to do what He wants you to do. So let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. What is he talking about? Whoever will save his life. You're going to remain in control. No, I'm not giving up control of my life. I'm going to be in control. He said, that's fine. You do that, you're going to lose it. You know, you stay in control, you're going to lose it. You're going to spend eternity regretting it. Okay? Matter of fact, you're going to spend life regretting it, really, because you're going to miss out on a lot of blessings. Whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what's a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So, what's more important in life? Doing it your way? Following your own fleshly desires? Or following Christ? and enjoying the benefits. If people could just get hold of what God wants to do for you and how He wants to bless you when you are really obedient to Him and when you're living for Him, allowing Him to be Lord of your life, He's going to bless you in ways that you cannot imagine. That's His promises. Over and over in the Bible, we find those promises. Why do we have so much trouble with that? We have trouble believing that and doing that. And so we continue to try to remain in control and do it our own way. And we're going to lose out because of that. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of God, of himself to God. We're all going to give account. We're going to face Him one day, and we're going to give account for the good and evil that we've done. 2 Corinthians, then, chapter number 5. Verses 9 and 10. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Paul says, that's what motivates us. That's what we're all about. We're labor. We're working. We're living our lives every day so that we'll be accepted of Him. We're doing every day. Our whole heart's desire is to do what God's will is for us, for our life. Be obedient to Him. Follow His will for our lives. We're going to read a couple more and then we're going to move on. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We're going to reap what we sow. Okay? So you go out there and live a life of selfishness and following the lust of the flesh, and you're going to reap a life of destruction. And you're going to suffer for eternity. So we need to understand that we are going to give an account. But we also understand that God's a fair judge. He's not a respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. He's a fair judge. And He's going to judge us all equally. And so it's not, you know, because you've maybe been a little more popular than the next person, you know, He's going to be light on you. No, He judges equally for all of us. Sin is sin. It matters not who's committing it. It's still sin. Okay? And so I'm thankful that God is a fair judge and that He's going to judge us all accordingly and not with respect of persons. Find that in chapter 2, verse 2. He said, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And again in verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. So God's no respect of persons. He's judging everyone equally. And we will all give account equally according to the life that we have lived and whether or not we have repented of our sin. And finally, Jesus is coming back. And I believe He's coming quickly. He's coming. It's going to happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning verse number 51. The Bible said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. The last trump, the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He said, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't let Satan distract you and discourage you. Stay in the fight. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. And keep fighting. Keep living for Christ. Keep allowing Him to be the Lord of your life. Don't give up. And don't get tired and quit. But always remain faithful to Him. In Revelation chapter 22, finally, we find these verses. Chapter 22, verse 7, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." He's coming quickly. In the twinkle of an eye. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Drop down to verse 12 and 13. "And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And finally, verse number 20. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Jesus is coming. When he comes, there will be no time for you to change your mind. So, so many people have good intentions and they're planning on accepting Christ. They just want to enjoy life for a while. You know, I want to do these things. I want to spread my wild oats. But one day, I'm going to accept Christ. I'm going to begin to live for Him. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." There's no time. When He comes, your decision has been made. We see it often because of some of the things I do with responding as a first responder with the fire department. I see death come quickly without notice. Person's a picture of health. How many times have we seen people who have just been to the doctor for a physical, got a clean bill of health, and suddenly, without notice, a massive heart attack, a massive stroke, they're gone. No time to change their mind. Their mind has been made up. Your mind right now has been made up. The decision you have chosen to make to either accept Christ and allow Him to be Lord of all, the controlling interest in your life, or you've made the choice to wait maybe till a later time. You know, you may have joined the church, may have been baptized, but really haven't fully committed your life to Christ. The question today is, if He came in the next 5 seconds, where would you spend eternity? your choice is made. Whatever choice you've made to this point. So you've either chosen to reject Him and you're going to spend eternity in hell, or you've chosen to accept Him and live for Him and you'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. Quite a difference in the two decisions. Not something to take lightly. But so many people just take it lightly. Nothing to it. It's a matter of life or death, I can tell you. Most important choice you'll ever make. What's your choice today? Father, we love you. God, I thank you. I thank you that you have made the provision for us to be blessed. For us to be forgiven. For us to be saved. For us to have eternal life. Or not only to spend eternity with you in heaven, but to be blessed with the many blessings that you have in store for us here and now in this life. Lord, it's so simple. It's free. Yet so many people struggle because they don't want to give up control of their life. They want to continue to be in control of the things that they want to do, places they want to go, the habits they want to keep that are contrary to your will. And so they're rejecting you. Father, I pray there's one here today that's not ready. Holy Spirit, speak to that heart right now, I pray. Convict. Draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name and for your sake we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. You know what decision you've made to this point. And you know in your heart, if you've ever genuinely repented of your sins and trusted Jesus to be your Lord, that decision is a matter of life and death for you. And I encourage you, I beg you, I plead with you to choose life. Choose Jesus. Repent of your sins. Let Him have control. Begin to live for Him. Anyone, God's spoken to anyone today. I believe He has. We can reject Him. Could be the last opportunity you have.